Well, please have your Bibles open at Exodus chapter 18. It can be a terrible place to be when you're in that situation where you've got an awful lot of work to do, but you're the only one who can do it, and there doesn't seem to be any help around, and no matter how hard you work, you never get to the end of the job. That's a hard place to be. And it's when people are in that sort of situation that they find themselves working ridiculously long hours. They may find themselves not taking holidays. They may find themselves working when they shouldn't be working. And all the time they've got that sickening feeling in their stomach that no matter how hard they work, they never get the job completely done. Well, if you find yourself in that sort of situation, there's a couple of different options. You can always look for another job. That's one of them. The most sensible thing to do is to raise the problem with some people and see if you can get some help, because that's a sensible thing to do. When there's a lot of work to be done, when there's many things that have got to be completed and you can't do them all yourself, you've got to, at some point, you know, swallow the bullet. You've got to make that decision to get some help. Because when we share the load and many hands make light work, we find that people can get a lot more done together than when everything is just bundled upon one person. And this is the message that we've got here in Exodus 18, the second half of this chapter, where Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, has come to visit him and brought his family back to him. And last week, we were seeing how Jethro heard about what God had done and how he put his trust in the Lord God Almighty, and that they've had a meal together in the presence of the Lord. So it looks, as far as we can tell, that Jethro has become a believer in Yahweh, in Jehovah, in the true and living God. And we're now at the point of what happens next. Because in verse 13, we see that we're joining the next day. And just because Moses has got his family staying with him, it doesn't mean that he can take any holiday. That's always a bit of a surprise sometimes. When my parents and my family came up, I couldn't always take as much holiday as they were up here for, and I had to keep on working. Moses is in the same sort of situation. He can't take a holiday. He's got to get back to work. And of course, Jethro is interested in what's going on. You know, that's a natural thing, isn't it? He's heard about all these great things that God has been doing. He's heard about how wonderful these people are. He's heard a bit about the troubles as well. Now he wants to see Moses in action. So the next day, it's an ordinary day in the camp. Their lives in the camp was governed by what the cloud of God did. The Lord's presence was there as a cloud in the day and fire at night. And if that decided to move and go off, they followed it. But on days when it stayed in one place, they stayed put. And it was one of those days. It wasn't a moving day. It was business as usual. And it looks like from dawn right the way through to the end of the day, there's just this crowd of people surging towards Moses. And they're coming to him because they've got all sorts of problems. And they want his advice on all of the different problems. Now, this was quite normal in ancient societies. The leaders in those days used to wear many different hats, which nowadays are split into different branches. So Moses was the religious leader, he was the political leader, he was the military leader, and he was also the judicial leader. He was the top judge in the land. In fact, he was the only judge in the land. And that means he had a little bit of a heavy workload. He did. So right the way through the day, we've got these people coming up to him with all sorts of problems. And it's great that the people are enthusiastically bringing their problems to Moses, because when that happens, Moses presents the cases before God, because he's also there as a judge and a prophet. He's bringing God's law to them. So it's good that the people want to submit themselves to God's ruling in all of these different cases. But there seems to be so many of them bringing their problems to Moses that even by the end of the day, he hasn't got through them all. That's the suggestion that we have here. From morning till evening, it's a never-ending task. It just keeps going on and on and on. Well, Jethro sees all this, and he can see that there's a problem here. But Jethro's clearly quite a wise man, because he doesn't start criticizing straight away, and he doesn't start offering solutions straight away. There's nothing like unsolicited advice to get someone's back up. You know, when someone comes along and says, "Oh, I know what you should be doing." Instead, Jethro turns to Moses and asks, "What's going on? Why are they all coming to you?" And Moses answers him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." So Jethro is wise enough to ask for advice about what is going on, rather than just going straight in with his solution to this problem. And when he hears what's going on, you know, we've got some very straight talking here. "What you are doing is not good. You and these people will come to you, will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." And that little bit is the key sentence in this passage. You've got the build up to that, you've got the problem stated, then you've got the solution to the problem afterwards. So that's the central thought of this section of scripture. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. You need to share the load. Many hands make light work. And Moses clearly realizes that this is the case. He's in an unsustainable position, because no matter how hard he works, he's not getting all the work done that's needed. And then there's all his other responsibilities. Remember, he's the political leader and the religious leader and the military leader. He's got all sorts of jobs on his head, and he's using all of his time just doing the one thing. He's not getting to the end of that, so that's not being done properly, and all the other areas are being neglected. It's a terrible situation to be in. And yet it's a situation which is often found in many churches, which is why Exodus chapter 18 is a favorite for church leadership courses. Here we have Moses being held up as an example of how not to do it. And his situation here is similar to many church workers. They find themselves in this situation where they've got to wear lots and lots of different hats, and they can never get all of the job done, no matter how hard they try. And this leads to the situation where if the leader's by himself, all of the focus is on one place, and other areas are being completely neglected. And of course, people do burn out. And church ministers have got one of the highest rates of burnout that's known in the UK. Lots and lots of church ministers get to the point where they suddenly have to stop working like that, because they're not getting the help and the support that they need from within the congregation. And that, of course, is awful for the individual, and it's awful for the church as well. Because what happens afterwards, and what happens to the witness of the Lord's people when this sort of thing happens? So Jethro is seeing here in Moses a problem which happens in many churches today. And often it takes someone from outside coming in to identify exactly what the problem is. Because the people caught up in the situation, they know that there's an issue, but they just sort of feel powerless to do anything about it. Moses must have known something was wrong, but he was so caught up in that treadmill of ministry that he didn't have the time or the energy to do anything about it. So Moses, he gets credit for his diligent attention to duty. The people get credit for their desire to bring their problems to the Lord, but the situation how it is cannot be allowed to continue. Well, fortunately for Moses, Jethro was experienced in these matters. He was a priest of Midian, maybe the high priest of Midian, so he would have been occupying a similar position in his society, with lots of people coming to him for decisions and other things. So he was in a good position to give Moses some advice. And he does come up with some good advice, but notice in verse 23 that the suggestions that he brings, he says to Moses, "Take them to the Lord. Get the thumbs up from God first. No, these are just my ideas. You need to get them sanctioned by the Almighty." And as we go through this passage and Moses follows the advice, it's clear that this is actually happening. So the advice is practical, simple, common sense, and it comes in two parts. Moses is to remain the people's representative before God. Now remember, this is a position that God has called him to. So he can't just give that to someone else. That's his position that the Lord has called him. So he's got to do that. But then he's got to teach the people God's decrees and instructions, showing them that the way that they are to live. That's in verse 20. And from that, I seem to get the idea that at this point, what God was saying about these cases was not being communicated to the wider community. So you've got this situation where person A has got a problem, and he'll come and Moses will take it to the Lord, and he'll give him the answer. And then 2 days later, person B comes along with the same problem. And then person C and person D. And they're all coming with the same problem. And the answer's already been given, but it hasn't been communicated out to the people. So Jethro says, teach them his decrees and instructions. And show them the way that they are to live and how they are to behave. So Moses has got to be teaching the people what God is saying. Clearly and in a way that they can understand, so that they know themselves what to do. And that's why it's so important for Christians to be reading God's word, because there's so many things in scripture which are quite clear. All we've got to do is read it or listen to it online, listen to sermons. We can take a lot of things in ourselves, and when we know God's word ourselves, it gives us the wisdom that we require for many of the decisions in life. So often if we know God's word, we can steer ourselves away from danger rather than just blundering into it and then finding ourselves in a mess and then needing help to get out. So Moses is to teach the word. And then secondly, of course, he's got to show them that the way they are to live and how they are to behave. So Moses has got to be an example. And this morning we were thinking about Jesus, the great high priest, and we were thinking about high priests and how they were to be an example. Moses wasn't the high priest. He was the brother of the high priest. Aaron was going to be the high priest. But he was a Levite, and therefore the way that he lived had to be an example. And this is a message for those of us who are older Christians. The way that we live our lives needs to be an example to the new converts that we have amongst us, to those people on the fringe. They need to be looking at our lives and not see any hypocrisy there, but rather the truth of what we believe being lived out in the way that we talk to one another, in the decisions that we make, in the things that we decide to do with our time. We need to be a living example. So that's the first bit of advice, to teach them and be an example. And then secondly, we've got share the load. Appointing officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties and tens. And this is one of the ways that they described all of the people. It doesn't mean that there was an official over every 10 people, but it was small, medium, large and very large groups. And these were to be carefully selected men whose are going to serve as judges for the people at all times. And it's clear that the more capable someone was, the larger their area of responsibility. And what you've got here is a great system of raising up new leaders. Because if someone can be trusted to look after the small problems of a small group, say a 10, then they're eligible for promotion up to a 50, and so on, going up all the way through. Now these people, they had to be carefully chosen. They had to be people, and they're described in here of being people who are good, honest, trustworthy men. Men who fear God and hate dishonest gain. And that's what you really need in a judge, isn't it? Someone who you can't bribe. Someone who fears God. And someone who's always going to do what is right and true. And when men like this could be found to judge the people, then they were in a really good place. And it means it's going to be a lot simpler for Moses, because anything that the judge of the small group can't do is just passed up and up and up. And that means that Moses is only going to be dealing with the hardest of the problems, the ones that are really difficult. And this way, it means that he is going to be free to do his other responsibilities. And that's an important point. Jethro isn't saying to Moses, you need a holiday. You know, you need to go off to another place and put your feet up for a while and have some downtime and then you'll be fine. That's not the case at all. He's saying you need to get some other people to take this work off you so that you can use your time for the other things. The things that are being neglected and the things that are being left out. And when you can do that, then, you know, everyone's going to be happier. You're not going to be so worn out. And you're not going to have this feeling that you're never getting your job done, no matter how hard you work. And, you know, for Moses, this would have been really good, sound, solid advice. So he's only going to be dealing with the difficult cases, and then he can spend his time focusing on other things. And the whole country, the whole nation, would have been governed far better because of Jethro's advice. And Moses was willing to take this advice, obviously with a thumbs up from the Lord, but he was not a proud man. He was a humble man. He was willing to accept advice, even advice from someone like Jethro. And remember, Jethro, even though he'd become a convert, was still a Gentile priest. So, yeah, you've got advice coming in from an unexpected direction. And this leads us to another little application point, because sometimes we can get advice from all sorts of unexpected directions, and the Lord will use sometimes advice from a different angle to usual to get our attention and help us to make the right sorts of decisions. So we've got this principle of sharing the load, of many hands making light work. And as we go through Scripture, we see it time and time again. So we can think about the Gospels and our Lord with his disciples. And he could have done all the work himself quite easily, couldn't he? But he knew that he was going soon and he had to hand the work over. Did he hand it over just to Peter? No. There were the 12 disciples. And when one of those disciples betrayed our Lord and was taken away, one of the first things that we see the early church doing in the book of Acts is appointing someone to replace Judas Iscariot. So it's this idea of a team ministry of many people sharing the load together is there in the pages of the New Testament. And then as we go through the book of Acts, we've got that situation where some of the Hellenistic Jewish widows were missing out on their daily food parcels. And this prompts the introduction of the office of deacon so that the apostles can use their time in prayer and the teaching of God's word rather than waiting on tables. Now, that's not to say that waiting on tables is not important. I think if you were a hungry Hellenistic widow, you'd be more interested in the food on the table than you would in the teaching of God's word. Both are important. But both shouldn't be the responsibility of one person. There needs to be that delegation of responsibility so that all of the jobs are done and nothing is left out. And the same is true in the church today. As Christians, we are all part of the body of Christ. Each one of us who is truly saved is filled with the Holy Spirit, and we have a selection of gifts and abilities and experiences which we can bring to the Lord's service. We need to be a people who are eager to serve the Lord diligently in whatever way that he has asked us to serve. And we need to be people who are occasionally willing to try serving in a new way. Sometimes, a bit like Moses, we may need a bit of outside help to see areas where we may be able to serve and to do something different. And I know many people can testify that someone's come along and suggested to them something maybe out of the blue and they thought, oh no, that's not for me. But then when they've stepped out in faith and tried it, they've discovered that actually you are gifted for that. But often you don't realize until you step out in faith. So it is worth listening and being open to advice from unexpected directions. And for us as a church, as our church grows, we're going to need more people to help out in different ways, especially in the teaching of God's word to different age groups and in serving on the many rotas. As churches grow and get larger, they just get more and more complicated. And that means more and more people need to be helping out. And yet I'm also aware that many people are getting older and they'd love to do more, but they can't. So we need to be people who are praying. Praying that those within the church who are capable are willing to do what the Lord has asked them to do and fulfill their responsibilities. And at the same time, asking that the Lord will bring us in the people that we need to fulfill all those ministry shortages. Because the Lord can raise people up and the Lord can bring people in. And we need to be asking that he would do both. And we need to be asking that the Lord would give us the wisdom to see the right place for different people to serve. So we need to be praying that the Lord will bring these people in. And when we are all working together as the body of Christ, utilizing the gifts that the Lord has given us, then people aren't going to burn out and they're not going to have that feeling that they're never getting to the end of their job or struggling like Moses clearly was. Instead, when we all share the load and when we all pull together, we can be the body of Christ and a bright light for the Lord in our community. Amen.